Good evening, and welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Josh Curry.
And I'm Jeff Kervin.
And tonight, we've got a couple of topics for you. We're going to lead off with a little coverage of, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Basically, there's a lot of game stuff going on last week that I was ignoring because of Star Wars. I posted a little bit about it, but it was really not my focus. But now that I have seen Star Wars 3 times and still think it's excellent, I figure it's time we...
It wasn't very good.
We cover the other big happenings. It is official. All three major console companies have announced their next-gen consoles. Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Nintendo Revolution. So I'm just going to give you a quick breakdown of each and where I stand on them. The Xbox. I've been talking for a long time how it wouldn't be the most powerful. We did a Max Geek where we talked a lot about the Xbox and the PS3. And it looks like it may not be... It's going to have about half the power of a PS3 processor-wise. Video-wise, it's pretty close. But again, the PS3 is going to trump it. But after everything I've seen... I like where Microsoft is going. They are really concentrating on multiplayer gaming. They're really concentrating on Xbox Live. And they're really concentrating on delivering content digitally, which to me is very important. With Xbox Live, there's a new thing called the Marketplace. Basically, the Marketplace is set up so you can go and you can buy inexpensive items through micropay to tweak out your games or your characters in your games, or you can even go buy additional levels for games, and they can make these reasonably priced. If you're getting bored and you don't want to go buy an entire expansion, they can make a level available or five levels available for a minimal charge, and then you can have more multiplayer levels or whatever. The infrastructure for Live is going to be much better. The basic service is free, which either includes basic play but no matchmaking, or at least play on weekends for free. So the basic level of Live is free. It's these things that I think are really where the innovation is for console gaming. The Xbox 360 is everything we expected, 20-gig drive. It is removable. It's got the 3-core IBM Cell processor, ATI graphics, 512 meg of graphics DDR3, running at 700 megahertz, I believe. So really, it's everything we thought it was going to be, and I'm probably going to go with it because they seem to understand where console gaming needs to go. Do you have any thoughts on the... On the Xbox 360, Jeff?
Honestly, I have no thoughts at all. I've been ignoring this entire topic because I'm not a gamer. If I were to buy a next-generation game console between the Revolution, the Xbox 360, and the PlayStation 3, I would get an Xbox 360. But that's just because the games that I want work on the Xbox. But really, I don't know. I see, and this is a nifty little segue. But I see a lot of convergence happening here, and either PCs are taking on more console gaming style functions, or consoles are taking on more PC functions. But it's getting to the point where most people will be able to get by quite well with one or the other, but won't need both. I already have a PC, so I don't really need a console.
Yeah, you definitely aren't. You don't target gaming, so I understand that. Well, before we pick up your segue, I'd like to talk about the other two consoles real quick. I definitely understand where Jeff is coming from. He's not a big gamer. I'm sure eventually, once Solo Media takes off and we're making a bunch of money, I'll convince him to pick up an Xbox 360 so I can blow his brains out once in a while, just for fun. or we can play some Lynx or some Top Spin. Xbox 360 will be at least backwards compatible with some games. They're not guaranteeing 100% backwards compatibility, but then again, the PS2 isn't 100% backwards compatible. Nothing is. Except for the next device I'm going to talk about, the Nintendo Revolution. It, in fact, will be able to play any Nintendo game ever. Now, it's going to be a download service for anything that's not a GameCube game or a Revolution game, but they are setting it up so you can play the entire library of Nintendo games. That in and of itself means I'll probably also own one of those, because my daughter will be getting, you know, as she gets older, I'll want her to be able to play some of those games, and some of those games are very kid-friendly, and as she's learning to play, they have a little lower level of difficulty for her to learn on, and she can kind of build up to the better games. Plus, it's a great sense of nostalgia for me, and it's going to be a very small device that plays DVDs. So while it's not this technical wonder, they also have a little bit of a clue about where gaming's going, whereas the PS3 seems not to. Those are all the details we really have, other than it's going to be an IBM processor and an ATI graphics chipset in the Revolution. But they seem to have at least an idea of more than just making it as powerful as possible. They're looking at what can make games better. Where there is room for innovation instead of throw more polygons at it. And that's all the PS3 is built around. PS3 definitely going to be the most powerful. It's got an NVIDIA chipset that'll do 1080p, whereas the Xbox 360 will only do 1080i. It's processors, the Cell processor, which, if Sony's hype is to be believed, which, as a side note, I never believe Sony's hype because they swore the PlayStation 2 could render Toy Story on the fly, and it can do nowhere near that. So I think they're exaggerating just a little bit, but they claim twice as many teraflops as the Xbox 360, so they're throwing power at it. But the hard drive is an option. It does not come with a hard drive, which is a huge faux pas. And it doesn't look like they're going to go with. I don't remember whether they're going with wireless controllers or not. They may be. Actually, they are. Everyone is going wireless on their controllers. Every controller for the new systems will be wireless. Sony is including some online stuff, but again, it's Sony's online stuff where with basic Xbox Live being free, I don't see any real competition there. They're not trying to innovate, they're just throwing more power at it, which is typically Sony. Sony is not an innovator. They are...
Well, you're going to get a lot of hate mail from Clea.
Well, that's fine. Please, send me the hate mail. I've got responses. Sony is not an innovator. They may have been with some of the Cleas. That doesn't always equate to a good thing, and if we want to talk about Cleas, we can, but Jeff knows my feelings on Cleas. I'm not here to talk about Cleas. I'm talking about game systems. And I'm talking about a majority of their entertainment electronics. The PSP looks very cool. It's got a huge screen, but it is not innovative. UMD, not innovative. It is, they only innovate when it comes to controlling their rights. That is the only place I see Sony innovate. From a technology standpoint, the PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 3, while the PlayStation was pretty impressive, it wasn't, you know, the only thing it had going for it was its games. It wasn't necessarily the most powerful, but they had a good game lineup, and I'm not saying Sony's stupid here, but it wasn't innovative. The PlayStation 2 really wasn't innovative. The PlayStation 3 doesn't look very innovative. They aren't going for different ways to play games, they're going for more power to play the games, which everyone's going to have, and we're looking at probably 6 months to a year in the release lag on the PlayStation 3, so they better damn well be more powerful than the Xbox 360. So I stand that I don't own a PlayStation 2, I won't own a PlayStation 3. This is, for me more than anything, the games and the fact that Sony doesn't know where things are going, and Microsoft seems to have their finger on the pulse that, you know, there is some convergence going on in game consoles. The Xbox 360 is becoming part of your media center. They have always been striving more towards an entertainment console that plays games, and with the USB ports, I'm guessing you'll be able to put a keyboard and a mouse there. You'll be able to browse. I mean, it's opening up a lot of options. You can, you know, it's designed to work with your iPod or your PSP for music and download music from them to use for itself. Now, of course, it's, you know, depending on the format of the music, it may not be able to bring them down, but a lot of the stuff on the iPod is unprotected. It is not, you know, not everything on an iPod is protected. A lot of the, you know, that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is they're heading for convergence. But it's not full convergence. They're not trying to take over the PC's space. They're trying to give the people who don't need a full-on PC, who just need to browse the web and want to play games, an option. And that's really where it's heading. And it can also handle displaying your videos on your TV. And they're not trying to replace your computer, because they'd be stupid to, because they're Microsoft. But they're trying to come up with a symbiotic relationship where it can replace some components of your system and allow you to focus on other things. Which is really brings us to our main topic. I wasn't looking at covering this all night. We're definitely wanting to cover convergence in general. Basically, there are a couple schools of thought here. There are two extremes. Everything is going to be one device in 10 years, or we're going to have 5 really specialized devices in 10 years. So, I mean,
everyone's
going to look like Batman with a bat belt. So it's a little crazy, but well, Jeff, why don't you kind of start us out here?
Well, yeah, I've been thinking a lot recently about digital convergence and, you know, how many devices people actually need to carry to accomplish what they really want to do. The Life Drive, which I will have a detailed Fondle report on writing on your palm soonish, hopefully tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. The Life Drive is a great start towards that digital convergence. You've got a 4 gig drive. You've got all of your media stuff. You've got Wi-Fi, but it's not a phone. You have to add, but it does have Bluetooth to talk to a phone. The smartphone market is geared around trying to pack as many features as possible into a phone so that the only device you need to carry is a phone. And we're starting to see a lot of phones that can play MP3, for example. I mean, it's not really all that hard to take the crucial bits of an iPod Shuffle and cram it into a
phone. I think that's really the place where this convergence is going to start, is right there.
But the question is, is it enough? Or is making something a jack of all trades sufficient to, you know, for it to still be good enough to do what you want it to do? A lot of people are kind of hesitant towards going to convergent devices because, yeah, they can do a whole bunch of different stuff, but they're not really good at any of it. Where, you know, if you want, you know, if you want a top-notch gaming system, you get a Game Boy Advance or a PSP. If you want a top-notch media player, you get an iPod. Josh, what are your thoughts on handheld?
Well, and that's really what started this whole line of reasoning for Jeff and I is handheld convergence. Everyone knows I own a Zod, or at least if you're a regular listener, you know I own a Zodiac 2. It was originally marketed as a PDA gaming device. It's great for little things if I want to play something on the go, But you know what? It will never replace my Game Boy Advance. And, you know, I haven't moved up to the DS, and I may never move up to a Nintendo DS. It is not the device for me. But it will never replace that, because it's not just plug in a cartridge and play. There's not the same kind of support. There's emulators out there, but they either are iffy, they're hard to find games for, they're not exactly the most stable thing, because they can't generally charge for them. Or if they can, there's more complications. One of the better emulators for Game Boy out there finally had a Game Boy Advance, but Tapwave wouldn't sign it, so it's not got a Tapwave-specific version. I paid for that specifically because it was eventually going to be able to do Game Boy Advance. And the Game Boy was nice at the time, but in the long run, it didn't work. So the way I see it is, there may be some convergence. I think what you'll see is, you'll see things like maybe some media functions in a handheld gaming device, or maybe a calendar and some basic contact management in a gaming device. But I don't think... It all depends on which side of the market you're on. There's two markets for these things. Okay? There's the gaming market, and then there's the PDA market. And for the PDA market, Bejeweled 2, a couple of emulators, and Bike or Die are all these people really need to play. I mean, those are games and things that allow you to play enough on a PDA where if it's your PDA, you're doing a lot more on it. So there'll be a little convergence, and there'll stop being these people in the middle, okay, who, you know, really need, you know, there'll still be people who need both full-on devices. But there's going to be a lot more people who really want a gaming device and a couple of organizer features. And this isn't me, obviously. Or there's going to be people who want a PDA with a couple of games. I'll pretty much always have a PDA and a gaming device. I don't see...
I will say this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you want to do, you know, with your device. I think that the ideal solution for just about everybody is going to be two devices. Now, which two devices? Well, that's up to you. But I think just about everybody out there is going to need to carry at least two devices to accomplish everything that they need. Now, for me, as far as my two devices go, I'm kind of flip-flopping here. And I know regular listeners are going to find that to be absolutely unbelievable. But I'm trying to decide, do I want a Life Drive and a slick Bluetooth phone? Because after seeing the Life Drive in person today, I got to say, if the battery life is anywhere remotely reasonable, which means better than the T3, because the T3 battery life was abysmal. But if the battery life on the Life Drive is good, do I want a Life Drive and a slick Bluetooth cell phone, or do I want a Trio 650 and an iPod? Both of those combinations accomplish the same things. They both give me a hard drive. They both give me music. They both give me telephony. They both give me anytime, anywhere internet. The question is, which pair am I looking at? But I'm looking at a pair either way. I honestly don't think that most people that want not just voice but data as well, when they're on the go, are going to be able to get by with just one device. If you want multimedia and you want data while you're on the go, you're looking
at
two devices.
I mean, there are definitely going to be people who can get by with just a Trio 650, who are happy with that, and that's all they need. But I don't think that's a majority of people. I think that those kind of devices are really more of either a combo, like Jeff's talking about, and I think Jeff's combo is actually kind of unusual. I don't think you'll find a lot of people looking at a Trio and an iPod. I don't think you'll find them looking at that two-body solution.
I know a lot of people that have a
yes,
trio
but
and an iPod.
Those aren't... We're talking to geeks, but I'm talking the entire market out there, Jeff. I mean, if we talk geeks, then yes. I mean, that's obvious. But when you're talking normal people, too, I'm looking at the entire market. Not the early adopters, not that kind of thing. I think people are going to fall somewhere in between. My two devices, if we're looking at them right now, well, there's only a couple of ways I might go. Either I'll go with a phone that's got decent capabilities as far as looking up phone numbers and stuff and directions, and I'll ditch my Zod for a Tungsten C again, because I'm kind of considering that for work, although I doubt I'll do it because I love my Zodiac so much. Or I've already got my solution. I've got a Bluetooth phone that works with my Zodiac. And I still have a third-body solution that I don't carry with me all the time. I have a Game Boy SP. But I think the real thing we should be talking about is where convergence is going, not where it is.
Just add a Game Boy Micro instead of the Game Boy SP. You can flip that.
Yeah, but
shoes.
The screen is so small. That's my problem. I can't play on that screen. It's too small. And that's where that's actually where this all began. Really, we started talking about the future. We started talking about the Engage, and we started talking about phone game systems and PDA gaming PDAs, and I said, yes, for some people that'll work, but it's not going to get rid of the Game Boy, the Nintendos, and Sonys out there. Real gamers aren't going to be satisfied with an Engage because it's not as good as a Game Boy Advance SP. I can get 700, there's 700 games available for my Game Boy Advance, okay? nowhere near that for an Engage. The PDA, there's a lot of games available, but some of those I have to jump through hoops for. Some of them aren't all that great. I mean, but they're not all production quality games. You know what I mean? So I think the future is really what we started talking about. Today, there is no one device solution. But for me, I don't think I'll ever be going with a one-device solution. I don't see any one device ever doing everything I want it to. At the very least, I'm always looking at a game device and a PDA. Once PDAs are wired in and of themselves, I'll probably still have a phone, though, too. I doubt I'll be going to a Trio 650, although, as I look at business stuff, it's an option. I still like the bigger, and that's why I probably won't go with the C2, is I like the larger screen. The physical size makes a difference to me, not just the resolution. But I think more importantly, what we really need to be talking about is the future of convergence, not the present of convergence, and where we think it's really going. For me, like I said, I mean, I see some convergence. I see cell phones with MP3 players definitely in the future. And I see PDAs merging maybe with cell phones on one end and with media players on the other. I definitely see that. I see multiple solutions. I don't see one convergence happening. I see we'll have PDA cell phones and we'll have PDA multimedia players. And then we'll have cell phones with Bluetooth and cell phones with Bluetooth and MP3 players, and that's the kind of thing we'll see. We'll see larger screen cell phones, smartphones that'll.
I tell you what you won't see in the cell phone market, at least here in the United States, and that's cell phones with Wi-Fi.
Oh no, they're too afraid of voice over IP.
Yeah, the carry, yeah, the handset makers, you know, Nokia, Motorola, have no problems making these kind of devices, and they're starting to show up in Europe, but you'll never see them in the States, because these companies are only going to make devices that they know the carriers will buy, and Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Cingular will never buy handsets that include Wi-Fi, because they are scared shitless. Voice over IP.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. But I think the real thing is, people keep talking about one body solutions, and I mean, eventually, I don't even see it eventually. I think that, you will always have single-body solutions that are more powerful. And that is a fact. You will always have single-body solutions that are more powerful than one-body solutions, and the real market for those is never going to go away. And I don't think that complete one-body solutions will ever be all that tempting to most people. To me, it never will be. And there may be there will be a market for them, but those will always be another market. There will always be multiple markets here. People who talk convergence are looking at only one market, and I think that's my bottom line. There will be convergence amongst all the markets, but I think,
yeah, what we're going to see ultimately is you're going to have people that, you know, as with so many things, the actual, you know, reality is going to fall somewhere in the middle of the two extremes. Now, I know that's a radical concept, but that's where I see it going. You're not going to see, you know, very many people that are happy with just one device, but of the two or three devices they carry, at least one of them will be some kind of convergent device. I don't think a lot of people are going to walk around with dedicated everything either. You're not going to see a lot of bat utility belts. And like I said, I think for most people, regardless of who you are or what you need, I think most people are going to find themselves carrying two devices. Which two devices those are going to vary quite a bit from person to person. But, even right now, how many people carry a regular cell phone and an iPod? Even an iPod Shuffle?
Yeah.
Most people are going to carry at least two devices.
Yeah, I don't see this Uber convergence ever happening. Although there is definitely convergence happening, and I don't think you'll be able to find very few devices that aren't converged in some way. They'll be at least striving for something. The two newest generation game systems are already trying for convergence. The PSP attempts multimedia. I would never use it for it. It's horrible implementation. The DS already attempts, it has a stylus, it's already looking at trying to add calendars and stuff like that, but in the long run, I'd rather use my PDA. It's built as a game system first. So there will definitely be some convergence in everything we see, but I think you'll end up having a phone, and if you have a phone and a PDA of some sort, like if you have a Life Drive or a Life Drive 7 or whatever, we'll talk the future, right? If you have the Life Drive 7 and a phone, right? Because you want Bluetooth and you don't, and you know, and it doesn't have a built-in cell radio, and those are your two-body solution because you've got 20 gig in your Life Drive 7, and that's you know on the low end, but it works for you. You're still gonna see convergence in both devices because your phone will have calendar stuff in it. If you have a Bluetooth phone, it will have a calendar. Whether you'll ever use it, you won't. I think we'll see a lot of things that are there for people who don't need the full functionality of another device, but I don't think you'll see a lot of it replacing that for people.
Although, that does bring up an interesting possibility for enterprising developers. Yeah, what if you had a Bluetooth cell phone and a Bluetooth PDA that transparently and continuously, or at least on a regular basis, synced with each other, and at least one of them syncs with your computer? Then if you do decide that you're going out on the town and you don't need your PDA, you're just taking your phone with you, you do have your up-to-date calendar information on
the
phone.
So solutions that are designed to work together. Two-body solutions that are designed to give you the option. That I really like. That I really like.
Yeah, I think as we start to move forward with this, you're going to see a lot of companies design their products with the intention that those products will be used in synergy with other devices. An interesting comment that I saw in the OneSource chat last night, Kitten was talking about Bluetooth on devices. She said she doesn't want her devices talking to each other. They might start planning things. And I think that's actually going to happen. We're going to start to see devices that are designed to use Bluetooth to work together and accomplish things that neither device could do on its own.
Yeah. That's a good point about convergence. There I can definitely see a time where, you know, I don't like my game, like my portable game system. I don't always carry it because I'm not always going to have time to play a game. I don't carry it when I go to work because I have my computer and I can play games on it. Okay, never mind. That wasn't a good joke, but it was funny. You know, I don't carry it with me all the time because I can play Bejeweled. I can emulate, you know, Game Boy games and Genesis games and TurboGrafx-16 games on my Zodiac. I can play Tony Hawk, which is something I could get for the Game Boy, but I've got for my Zod, and I like it on my Zod. You know, my Zod has a bigger screen. If I can get a game for both, I'll probably get the game for the Zodiac. But that's a very rare day.
Well, a bigger screen and a true analog.
That's a very rare day. Madden and Tony Hawk are about the only two games in... Well, Doom. Doom, Madden, and Tony Hawk are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head. You know, there's four games they share. And I own two of them, and I own them on the Zodiac. So there's definitely... But you know what? The next Madden won't come out for the Zod. I doubt we'll see a Zod-specific version of the next Madden. We won't be seeing a new Tony Hawk for the Zod. So, you know, there's just not the support for the hardcore gamers out there because they do carry their devices everywhere they go. If you're a hardcore gamer, you carry your device everywhere you go, and you want it to be able to play any game at the drop of a hat. And while some games are very easy to play on a Zodiac, the SD card games are rare, and those are the easiest to play. So I think the bottom line about convergence is it's all a lot of smoke and mirrors. There will be some converged devices, you know. The Trio 9000 will, I'm sure, have 4 gig, a phone, a keyboard, you know, be able to play some games, it'll dance a jig, it'll, you know, whatever you need it to do. But I don't think that's going to be the main device people are buying, because if they do buy it, they'll probably still own a game system, or they'll still own, you know, some other converged device, because that's everything is heading towards convergence, but they aren't replacing each other necessarily. In fact, in the case of something like the PSP, I won't buy one because they're charging a lot for features I have no desire to even consider. I don't want the features they're putting in it. You know? They're putting a lot of useless features for me in that thing. I don't need all the crap they have, and I'm just going to have to let it go. You know? It's not worth the money for those other features. So they're losing out there, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, but honestly, among the regular public, you're probably dead on there, but I got to say, among the geek community, which, I mean, you know, who else is listening to a podcast called Maximum Geek? There's a lot of people that will just rush out and buy something because it has new features, even if they have no intention of ever using them. It's got new features that the earlier version didn't.
Okay, if I had $250 to throw away, I admit, if I had $250 to throw away, I'd already have a PSP. Money is a concern for me.
Yeah, now it comes with MOV armrests. Why would a PSP come with armrests? But they're MOV!
Ooh, MOV, really? Where can I get one? But you're right. Although for me, like I said, I'm talking about the entire market. And yeah, I know I'm probably boring the hell out of our geek listeners because, frankly, a lot of geeks listen to us and they're going, "You're wrong. I'm always gonna want this." And that's right. A lot of people are. But you know what? We're not a majority of the market. We're the vocal minority. The geeks are the vocal minority, except for when it comes to things like the PSP, because it doesn't appeal to... Although, you know what? My uncle owns a PSP. He has never owned a portable game system in his life. He owns a PSP. I mean, you know, this is the guy who, you know, who doesn't play games that often because he doesn't have the time, and I think he probably more bought it for his daughter. But, you know, he's the one who brought it to work to show it to me. You know?
Does he ever use the video?
It came with Spider-Man 2, and he's not real impressed. It's okay, but, you know, on a long trip, it would be okay. The only thing that makes you...
Well, I see a lot of people buying PSPs for their kids for vacation.
But here's the thing. The only time I see the video being worth it is if you can afford to buy multiple videos for it. The only way that's going to happen is if people really start adopting what they're already doing in Japan. For $5 or $10 more, you get a DVD and UMD bundle. So,
which is awesome.
Okay, that would be something that made me go, okay, maybe I can look at this. Maybe this is something I can look at because, you know, sometimes I drive to Colorado. You know, a couple times a year at least, I'll be driving to Colorado. Otherwise, my mom will shoot me because she doesn't get to see her granddaughter.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, so my wife can watch a movie, and then then she can drive, and I'll watch a movie. If that's the case, if they really latch on to that and go, you know, it doesn't cost us that much more to add a UMD to the bundle for $5 or $10 more. Instead of $20 more, it's worth it to me to have the movie twice and not have to buy it twice. If it's $30 instead of $50, I'm in. I really like that idea, and if something other than a few Japanese anime companies who you can only get the anime in Japanese want to latch onto it, I'm all for it. Otherwise, I think it's only for people who have all the money to spend. Because, frankly, UMDs are as expensive or more expensive than DVDs. And
yeah, if the only way UMDs make any sense at all is if they're included for like an extra $5 over the cost of a regular DVD. So you buy the DVD, if you buy the DVD and you get both formats and it's like an extra $5, that's cool. I can live with that. But I'm not buying UMDs.
Well, and that's the thing. Sony's, you know, and the PlayStation is not bad for gaming, but it's not $250 worth of gaming machine.
Now the PSP is an interesting try at converging gaming and multimedia, mobile video, but it falls short in several key areas. But it's a first-generation product. I know
much like the DS falls short in its stylus interface, and they put that in there because they always intended to add something of Palm OS to it, and people keep going, well, it's going to replace... And here's the other thing that really gets me. People go, oh, no, well, it's going to have Palm OS. It's going to replace things like the Zodiac. No, it's not. It is not a fully functioning PDA. It'll have a calendar and contacts. If that's all you use your PDA for, you should never have bought a Zod in the first place. It might give things like the low-end desires a run for their money when it comes out, because there will be, you know, people will often buy that for, you know, high schoolers or, you know, maybe even middle schoolers so they can keep track of things. And if they can have a DS and they can do the same thing, then, you know, that's actually a really good market for Nintendo to edge out and for kids to say, but Mom, I can get this. But that's a small market. I don't think they're not hinging the sale of the DS on that, which is why they haven't even officially announced anything. You know, there will eventually be some convergence, and media is the most likely area for game systems to converge in. But, you know, I'm still more likely to have an Arcos and a Game Boy SP than something like the PSP until they find some better, you know, until they work out a lot of the bugs. And by then, the Arcos will be even more impressive. And, you know, it's a stair-step thing, so I don't know that I'll ever get to that conversion point. But I only own a game system now, so it may be the only way I get a multimedia, you know, device. Other than my Zod. You know what I mean? That may be there's a lot of ways for them to open up that market to other people, but you know, it's definitely a good marketing ploy, but all one body devices are just not realistic in the long run. And that's really what I have to say about convergence. You're looking at 2 to 4 bodies, and only probably one or two of those are necessary on a daily basis.
Yeah. I can totally.
Well, damn it.
That.
What are we doing agreeing? We're supposed to disagree. Oh. Well, we don't. Anything? Oh, this is not. My daughter's been a little cranky, so I apologize for any lack of focus on my part here. It's a little harder when Jeff and I are in the same house to go, Jeff, take care of it. I gotta go get the, you know. But my yeah. But generally, that's all what we've got to say about convergence, right? I mean, is there anything else?
No, that's. I think that's it. It's, you know, the point is that convergence is a great idea, and it is going to happen. You know, we will be dealing with it at some point, but it's never going to be an all or nothing situation. It's, you know, the thing to remember with convergence is that it's always going to come down to what combination of devices suits your needs. And we're eventually going to see devices built with that in mind, that are designed
to work with other devices.
With the idea that they're not a self-contained solution. You know, these devices are designed, you know, from the get-go with the thought that they are going to be part of an overall digital solution, that they're not going to have to be...
I'm
going to
throw a wrench in our whole conversation. You ready? I thought we were winding down, but micro-tablets...
Okay. micro tablets are awesome, but they still make shitty
phones.
Well,
and I realize that, but I mean, a lot of our devices here, a micro tablet with a good size hard drive, eliminates.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, a micro tablet would totally rock compared to. I mean, it would totally replace an iPod and a PDA. But
you'd still need a gaming system too, because frankly, the games aren't written for the smaller screen.
No, these are going to have at least 800x600.
But this
screen.
Jeff, it's the size. It's not the resolution. It's the size. You know, you don't want to playing a computer game.
That's not hardware. That's whether or not the people that are designing
that's
the
what
game
I said.
Are competent
well,
to write
Jeff,
a scalable
but Jeff,
UI.
You're missing the entire point. They're not thinking that way. If you're thinking an FPS, would you let me finish before you tell me how wrong I am? Asshole?
No.
Okay. This is, Jeff, you don't understand the gaming market at all, and I'm sorry, but you know nothing about gaming. You can try to tell me you do, but this is how a lot of our arguments start. You don't know jack about gaming. I agree that to a point there will be some, but still, the portable gaming market is a very specific kind of game, and the controls aren't even really there on a tablet. Now, this brings me to something else. There is a gaming tablet out there that is trying to find funding, and if they ever could make it work for a reasonable price, I'd probably own one.
See, and I'm thinking, you take that design, you slap Longhorn on it, you add a good Bluetooth phone, boom, you're there.
Yeah, the portability, yeah, although...
You're saying it's not going to work based on what's already available. I thought we were talking
about the
future. I know,
but although, let me finish. Although, still, you don't think Nintendo and Sony are going to be making smaller devices that are focused solely at gaming and have all the game developers behind it. And that's my point. They may break into that market a little bit, but I don't think they'll replace that market, because PCs don't replace the console market.
No one's going to replace any market. The market is going to continue to fragment every
way. I know,
way.
But Jeff, there will be some gaming, but I don't see, I do see, well, okay, I guess, my big point is, the mobile gaming market, not so much. The gaming market, if they build it right, it could have some impact on gaming in general, but I don't think it'll have much impact on the mobile gaming market.
What were you just reading about, gamers' opinions of laptops?
Laptops? I wasn't reading anything about gamers' opinions of laptops.
Oh, you were talking about consoles. But what I was thinking was that would apply to laptops as well. A gamer's laptop would be one with a...
Oh, yeah, well, definitely.
Screen.
Gamer's laptops, okay. Gamer's laptops are definitely going to be very large. They're definitely going to... I mean, they're not going to be a mobile... They're not going to be a micro tablet. Definitely not. Because gamers want bigger. They want more power. I mean, definitely for hardcore gaming, it'll be its own gaming market, more or less, I think. I think micro tablet gaming will definitely be its own market, more than anything. It'll be an in-between market.
This is exactly what I was...
It'll be an in-between market. Okay.
Exactly,
well, then, damn it, I agree with you. Shut up.
These devices are going to create a new subset.
Okay,
of the
I agree
market.
With you. Stop it. Oh, stop making me agree with you. Damn it. Again, we were arguing and we agreed. Why do we do that?
Probably to annoy
or somebody. To annoy me. One of the two. Or you. Or my wife.
Yeah, like annoying Bethany is hard.
Well, no, not for two gifted individuals like ourselves. All right, so I threw my wrench in and it turned out not to really be a wrench. I just thought we should talk about it more than anything. But convergence is out there. Convergence will continue to happen, but I don't see one-body devices as a reality or the future. I see... 2 to 4 body devices with at least one or two of those being optional.
Yeah. I see 2, maybe 3 as the ideal for most people. And at least one of those devices will not be a specialty device.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is where it starts to get beautiful. Mix and match. Find out what works for you. No one, and this is something I'm planning on ranting about in the next OneSource podcast. No one solution is right for everybody. Just because I like something doesn't mean you have to like it. You know, just because the Life Drive works for some people doesn't mean that it's a perfect handheld for everyone. So, let's get past this whole, device evangelism where you get hooked on this mindset where, the particular model of handheld I have is the perfect ideal, and everyone else is stupid for using something else. This opens up the idea that there are an infinite number of combinations of devices for you to pick and choose from, and everyone is going to have a slightly different combination that fits their unique situation.
Well, Jim,
can we all just agree
to
get along?
No, you and I can't. You and I can't agree to get along. Jeff and I do this. Every time Jeff or I starts talking about changing to another PDA, the other person has to convince them either why they're right or why they should go to a different PDA or why they should stick where they are. Every time Jeff looks at going to another PDA, I find myself championing whatever he's gone to. Because I listen to him rave about the T5, rave about the Zodiac 2. When he went from the Zod to the T5, it was like, to me, out of the blue. Because Jeff loved his Zod. As far as I knew, although Jeff never loves anything.
Okay, dude.
Jeff never loves anything. But it was just all of a sudden, yeah, I'm just going to get rid of the Zod. It doesn't do anything I like. And that was, now I know that's not how you meant it, but that's the way it came across. Hello?
Well, yeah, I mean, see that.
It's just like, and then for me, I'm like, I had to defend my beloved Zod. It was like, no, the Zod rules. And now that it has font smoother, screw you, hippie. Oh, sorry.
Okay, well, we'll see how well Skin UI works on yours, because that's the new customization app I'm playing with that is really, really cool. It's like object desk. It's like window blinds.
See, I don't like window blinds. I stopped using it long ago, so you are talking to the wrong guy. But thanks for playing. But again, this is where Jeff and I don't use our PDAs for the same thing anymore. For a long time, we were using our PDAs for exactly the same thing. At the same time, most of the time. You know, and it was... Our solutions were very, very similar. I moved to Kansas, and my solution became very different from Jeff's solution. Jeff stopped working at CompUSA, and his solution changed. And, you know, and... But Jeff and I are a little bit opinionated. And, yeah.
No.
And, I mean, in the OneSource cast last night, I found myself defending the Life Drive, which at the time I was really worried about, but people were really down on it. Now, having played with one today, there are a bunch of fools out there, because the Life Drive is a very nice device. I only had one minor complaint, and Jeff will tell you that we had to just agree to disagree on it. but... The Life Drive, the only concern I still have is battery life, and frankly, the only way to find that out is to test it. But the speed is no longer a concern for me. Whether I'll get one or not, it's still way up in the air. It would be 6 months before I even looked at one. I gotta have money coming in from something other than my piddly little job before I can consider spending $500 on a PDA. And my wife just said no. So, I don't know what she means.
Yes, but you see, if you buy the device first, the money will come.
Okay, I'm going to send Bethany in there to talk to you.
Yep, we're going to have more than words.
No,
okay,
not
that. Dude, she can beat you up. So, well... anything else? Anybody who's seen Star Wars, head over to the Solo Media forums. We'd like to hear other people's opinions. Jeff and I are very, we should probably be doing a lot of our, discussing we've been doing outside of the forums, in the forums. And we'll probably post some of that there. But, I would like to get some other feedback on Star Wars,
yeah.
Now that I know people like...
Yeah, well, the movie's only been out for a week, and apparently everybody's still all spoiler-phobic because people are freaking wusses, okay? Just because your wife is working this weekend and can't go see it, go see the freaking movie. She doesn't have to.
Everybody remember, Jeff is single.
I can't go to a movie because I can't have someone go with me and hold my hand.
Everybody remember, Jeff is single, and Jeff is single for a reason. I understand why you wouldn't go without your wife, because I have a wife, and she is, she's not dainty. She could kick my ass, okay? I'm not afraid to admit a girl could kick my ass. If she cared about Star Wars, I would have had to lie to her and go see it anyway, because it's Star Wars. But most things, I wouldn't do that. Star Wars means far too much to me to avoid it, and I told her all along, if you don't want to go see it, that's great. I'm going to go see it. I love you, dear. But I'd like to see some conversation on Star Wars. Alan was supposed to see it this evening, I think he said, and love to see his feedback. Hopefully, before long, Strider can get in on that. And anybody else out there who hasn't...
Yeah, we're hoping to have Mike in on a podcast either later this week or next week. Strider or Mike, whatever he goes by. Is also a regular on the forums, and he's a hilarious guy, so we're hoping to have another...
We kind of like the idea of having guests from time to time, because, frankly, we've got to have someone else to talk over other than each other. I mean, you know, if we're just talking over each other all the time, then, we got to mix it up a little bit. I think that's going to be it for the...
Plus, I'd like to point out that the talking over each other isn't necessarily that we're horribly amateurish when it comes to to radio or what have you. Part of it is also that there's like a 1.5 second lag with TeamSpeak, which is how we record this. So sometimes I'll start talking and not realize that Josh wasn't finished.
Yeah, and I do those pregnant pauses. You know, like that one. Just then.
Yeah.
It's really noticeable, this lag, because he's sitting in the other room, and I can hear him, and then I hear him.
Yeah.
And then I hear him, and I hear him. But I have to listen, apparently. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Maximum Geek. We were far too much on topic, and I don't think there was enough arguing. Let us know what you think,
time.
And if you're a Clea lover, screw you hippies. That's right, I want hate mail. Tell me why you think Cleas are cool, and I'll tell you why they suck. That's right. I'm coming out against the Clea right now. I'm just gonna cough it up. I had a Clea, and I'll never have another one. Is there anybody else I should offend before we go, Jeff?
You could say something inflammatory about Muslims in the Quran.
I could, but I don't like suicide bombers. Anyway, and I really don't want them to come visit me. I don't live in Kansas. I live in Colorado. woohoo! Oh, if you didn't like Episode 3, or if you think that the whole Star Wars saga doesn't, like, mesh, you're someone I want to insult, so come on over to my forums and I'll tell you why you're wrong. That's someone else that I've seen a lot of people telling me how botched the Star Wars sextology is, and I want to rumble. So I'm coming out. I want to fight. I want some people to argue with me, because I can't argue with Jeff all the time. He's too easy to beat. So head over to the forums. Tell me what an ass I am, and tell me how wrong I am, or don't. If you agree with me, then you're a lot. I can make fun of you, but that's all I can do. I can make fun of you either way.
Okay, I think we've rambled long enough, so that's gonna do
but
it.
But I had to call some people out, Jeff! Alright, that's it for this episode of Maximum Geek. Thanks a lot, guys.